The only logical place to start our story is at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and verses 26 through 31. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds in the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. In this beautiful creation, God planted a garden of the man for the man he had created. God filled the garden with all kinds of trees that were both lovely to look at and good to eat. Four rivers ran through this garden to keep it lush and green. But God saw that everything was not yet perfect. Adam needed a companion, so God created Eve to work and live alongside him. Sometimes in the cool of the day, God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. God loved them very much. Now, in this garden was one tree that God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat from. But one day, a serpent came to Eve. As the Bible says, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And the serpent tricked Eve into eating from the one tree that God commanded them not to touch. Eve brought the fruit to Adam, and he ate too. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. When they ate from that tree, everything changed. For the first time, Adam and Eve hid from God. They knew God would be coming to walk with them in the garden, and they hid. God knew they had sinned before he went to the garden to find them. God could have abandoned the creation that had abandoned him, but he didn't. God loved them, and so he went in search of them. There would be consequences for their actions, but only because God loved them so much.
Our second reading also comes from the book of Genesis in chapter 3, verses 14 to 19 and verse 23. The Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. After this, Adam and Eve no longer walked and talked with God in the garden. God's whole creation paid the price for that one sin. Nothing would ever again be the same. Pain, tears, toil, frustration, fear, and separation from God. This is what sin brought to God's beautiful and perfect creation. I often wonder if God cried that day when he had to banish Adam and Eve from the garden that he had made for them. God knew what this sin was going to bring: the wars, the atrocities, and the evil. But God knew something else as well. God knew how much he loved the people that he had made. God loves us, the crown of creation, but God also knew the end of this story. The rest of God's story is the story of how God's plan unfolds, one generation at a time. God promised Abraham that he would bless all the peoples of the earth through his descendants, the nation of Israel. And during the time of Moses, God showed the Israelites again that he loved them enough to deliver them from the slavery that they endured in Egypt. When they wanted kings instead of God, he gave them kings, including King David, from whose line the Messiah would come. Time and time again, sin and disobedience defined God's people, and God disciplined them, but God never abandoned them. God sent prophets to point the Israelites back to God and call for them to repent.
Our third reading comes from the book of Isaiah, in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and in chapter 7, verse 14. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onwards and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. The prophets spoke of a promise that God made thousands of years before, a promise that God made to Adam and Eve. God promised to bring his people back to him. God made promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Ruth, to David, whose father was Jesse, and to countless other descendants of Abraham. The Messiah, the Savior, would come from their line. He would be part of their family tree. Emmanuel, God with us, would be fully divine and yet fully human. The Messiah would experience all the complexities of life as we know it. Why? Because God loves us beyond our human imagination. Please remain seated as we sing together, What Child Is This?
it would be a young woman, Mary, who would give birth to baby Jesus. The gospel writer Luke tells us in the first chapter of his writing, in verses 26 to 38, how Mary came to know that she would carry the Savior of the world. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and Gabriel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. There was Mary, unmarried and pregnant, and not a good situation in that day. But her fiancé, Joseph, was a man of faith, and after an angel appeared to him in a dream, he took Mary home as his wife. Soon after, the Roman government ordered a census, and Joseph and Mary were forced to make a journey.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you kiss your little baby,
The gospel writer Luke records the birth of Jesus Christ, written in chapter 2, verses 8 to 17. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you, and you will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known that what had been told them about this child. The story doesn't end with the baby in the manger. His birth was monumental, but it wasn't the end. With his birth, God came to earth to continue his plan to bring us back to him. In that plan, this baby, God himself, would grow up to be a man. Please remain seated as we sing together, "Away in a Manger."
Jesus would teach people by word and example about what the kingdom of God is, what the kingdom of God is like, and how people can enter it. He would send his followers out to spread the word in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Jesus would be accused, arrested, and sentenced to death, a perfect human, a human who had committed no sin. This human, Jesus, went willingly to his death because he knew it was his Father's plan. And so he was beaten and hung on a cross. He prepared to die. The gospel writer John captures the last moments of Jesus' death in these words from the 19th chapter, verses 28 to 30. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." a jar full of sour wine was standing there. And so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Did you hear that? Jesus said, "It is finished." God's plan was accomplished. Jesus died on that cross, paying for our sin. But then, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He conquered death and made a way for his beloved people to come back to him. If we believe in Jesus, it is as if we never sinned. The garden has been opened again. We can be reunited with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God created us. We turned our back on him, and he had a plan to bring us back. It was a very costly plan, but it was a victorious plan. It was a plan to bring us joy. And that's what we celebrate tonight and forevermore.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the hand-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, winds with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
I invite you to join with me as we pray and end with the Lord's Prayer. Glory to you, O God, for good news of great joy that you give to all people. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who lived among us and now reigns on high. Thank you for his light that shines in the darkness. With the angels, we sing praise to you, celebrating your glory in all the earth, in the Son given to us, and in your promised salvation. Gathered as a community on this Christmas Eve, we pray for your church in every place, that we may make known to others what has been told to us about this child. Help us to bear Christ's light in every place of need. Draw near to those who spend this night apart from community. For people who live alone, for the one who is in a hospital room, one who sits in a prison cell, one who is working deep into the night. one estranged from family or friends. Comfort the poor and vulnerable, the child at risk, and the homeless on the streets. Restore those who have lost faith, lost hope, or simply lost their way. End hostilities and wars we construct by ushering in the endless peace of your design. Establish your reign of justice and righteousness. You are the Lord of hosts, who with zeal will do this. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due. Bring an offering and come into God's house. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before God, all the earth. Let us give generously of our tithes and offerings.